Hey there, and welcome to the Deep Dive. If you're working with modern applications, think AI, big data, basically anything cloud scale, you've probably felt this squeeze. Memory demand is just, it's exploding.
Yeah, absolutely. And the old way, just packing more traditional DRAM onto server motherboards, well, that's hitting some serious walls. There's only so much space, only so much bandwidth directly to the CPU.
Exactly. And this is where new stuff like Compute Express Link, CXL, starts looking really interesting. The promise, right, is huge pooling memory, expanding it way beyond the single server, maybe solving that memory capacity crunch.
It's a very compelling idea, but I mean, integrating a whole new memory tech like this into already complex server systems, it's not straightforward. We can't just rely on the marketing slides. We need to know how it really performs.
You said it. And that's why today we're dedicating this whole deep dive to really digging into one specific, super detailed research paper. It's called Systematic CXL Memory Characterization and Performance Analysis at Scale by Liu and colleagues.
And when we say detailed, we mean detailed. These folks went all out. They looked at, what, 265 different workloads, tested four actual CXL memory devices from different vendors.
Right, different types too.
Exactly. Plus seven latency setups, five different CPU platforms. I mean, the scale of this work is just massive.
It really is. So our mission today is to, cut through all that data, pull out the key insights that matter for you. We want to get a real feel for CXL performance, uncover some of the surprising things they found,
Yeah, there were definitely some surprises.
see how different kinds of applications react, and crucially, look at how we can actually analyze and figure out why things might be slow or different.
Think of this as your like guided tour through the nitty-gritty of CXL performance. We've done the heavy reading, so you get the insights straight up.
Okay, let's dive in. So fundamentally, CXL, it's built on PCIe, which we all know. But the CXL.mem protocol, that's the part that lets a device plugged into a PCIe slot act like extra memory for the CPU.
Right, and that's a very different path compared to the DRAM sticks sitting right next to the CPU socket. There's an extra hop. There's this thing called the CXL memory controller, the MC,
And
involved.
straight away, that introduces one core difference,
That doesn't
latency.
exactly. Accessing local DRAM right on the motherboard, super fast, maybe around 100 nanoseconds, give or take.
Okay.
But the paper shows this really clearly with one of their figures. Accessing CXL memory just takes longer. Even locally attached CXL, you might be looking at 200, maybe 400 nanoseconds total. So double or triple the latency potentially.
And that's just locally attached CXL.
Yeah. If you add a CXL switch to pool memory across servers, maybe you're up to 600 nanoseconds. And if you access CXL memory that's attached to a different CPU socket, what they call CXL plus UNIME, it gets even higher.
Wow. Okay. So it's definitely not just slightly slower DRAM. It's a different performance tier altogether.
Right. And you can't just stop there saying, okay, it's slower. Because the CXL protocol itself has complexity, and maybe more importantly, the CXL memory controllers from different vendors, they're not all the same.
The hardware variability.
Yes. How each vendor designs their MC makes a big difference in how that CXL memory actually behaves under load. And that's kind of the gap this research wanted to fill, getting past averages, understanding the details, the workload impact, and the reasons behind the performance.
Which sets up their first really big finding, and maybe one of the most eye-opening ones. You might look at average latency, average bandwidth, and think, okay, I get it. But this study showed, well, that's really not the whole picture.
Not at all. This is where the variability between the different CXL devices really jumps out. They tested four, let's just call them A, B, C, and D. And the paper details how they differed. Some used ASICs, one used an FPGA, different memory types like DDR4 versus DDR5, different PCIe lane counts. But the key thing wasn't just that their average numbers were different. It was how they behaved, especially under stress, was sometimes wildly different.
Okay, and here's where it gets like really fascinating. They didn't stop at average latency. They measured tail latency.
Yeah, this is crucial.
Explain that a bit. What's tail latency?
So think of it like the worst case scenario accesses, not the average speed, but the speed of, say, the slowest 1% or even 0.1% of memory requests, like the P99 or P99.9
They're
latency.
the outliers.
Exactly. And what they found was striking. Your normal local DRAM or even UNIME memory across sockets, it's incredibly stable. The difference between the average speed, the P50, and that P99.9 tail, it's pretty small, maybe 45 to 60 nanoseconds difference. It's predictable.
Okay, stable. Makes sense.
But some of these CXL devices, whoa, they showed really unstable and sometimes very high tail latencies, even when the device wasn't being hammered with requests.
Really? Even at low load?
Yeah. There's a chart in the paper, Figure 3B, using a simple pointer-chase benchmark. It just makes it so clear. Devices CXL-B and CXL-C, their P99.9 latency was spiking like 160 nanoseconds or more above their average. That's a huge unpredictable jump compared to local or NUMA memory.
Wow. Okay, so why should you care about tail latency? Isn't average good enough?
Well, for a lot of applications, especially the really latency-sensitive ones you see in cloud services, databases, key-value stores, caches, it's often not the average performance that kills you. It's those occasional super long delays. High, unpredictable tail latency can wreck your quality of service guarantees. It makes the application feel sluggish or unresponsive sometimes.
Right, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So did they figure out why the tail latency was so bad on some devices?
They dug into it. Part of it seems inherent to CXL being built on PCIe. You know, PCIe has things like transaction layer queues, potential link congestion, stuff that can add variability, sort of like random traffic jams.
Okay, the interconnect itself.
Yeah. But they also found evidence pointing specifically to the CXL memory controllers. Things like how the MC handles thermal throttling or background DRAM refresh cycles or just its internal scheduling decisions seemed less predictable or maybe less optimized than what you find in mature CPU memory controllers.
Interesting. So the CXL controllers themselves aren't maybe as refined yet.
That seems to be a factor. They even noted that the FPGA-based controller CXLC didn't seem to use the bidirectional CXL links as well as the ASIC ones did. It kind of suggests these first-gen CXL MCs just don't have the same level of optimization as the integrated memory controllers and CPUs, which have had decades to mature.
And what about CPU features like hardware prefetchers? Don't they help hide latency?
They do try. CPUs have these clever hardware units, L1 prefetchers, L2 prefetchers, that guess what data you'll need next and pull it into cache early. And the study found, yeah, they can help hide the average extra latency of CXL. But they often weren't enough to fully mask those big tail latency spikes. The prefetcher might request the data, but if the CXL access itself takes an unusually long time, the data still isn't there when the CPU core actually needs it. Boom, you get a stall anyway.
Okay. So prefetching helps, but it's not a magic bullet for the tail latency problem.
Exactly. And they showed this wasn't just some weird micro benchmark effect. They saw significant tail latency spikes showing up in real applications too, certain spec CPU benchmarks, cloud things like Redis running the YCSB benchmark, even when the overall bandwidth usage wasn't super high.
Okay, this is really important. So the big takeaway here, the first major implication for you listening, CXL isn't necessarily a simple drop-in replacement for DRAM in all situations.
Right. That significant and variable tail latency, it's a real challenge. Future systems, the CPUs, the CXL devices themselves, maybe even the software, need to be designed to specifically mitigate this.
So when you're looking at CXL options, especially if you care about predictable performance, like for cloud QoS,
you absolutely have to look beyond just average latency and bandwidth. Tail latency needs to be a top-tier metric in your evaluation.
Got it. Okay, so that's the device behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's shift focus. How did all this actually affect the performance of those 265 different workloads they tested?
Right. So they measured the slowdown. Basically, how much slower did an application run when its memory was on CXL compared to running entirely out of local DRAM?
And what did that landscape look like? Was everything terrible?
No, not at all. There was definitely good news. A pretty big chunk of workloads, somewhere between, say, 43% and 60%, depending which CXL device you look at, saw a really minimal slowdown, less than 10%, often even less than 5%.
Okay, that's encouraging. So for many things, CXL can just work as extra memory without a huge hit.
Exactly. It can be a viable expansion tier for a good number of applications. But then there's the other end of that spectrum, the tail of the slowdown distribution.
The problem children.
Pretty much. About 7% of the workloads hit really significant slowdowns. We're talking 1.5 times slower, up to nearly 6 times slower on some of the CXL devices, specifically A and B.
6 times slower. Ouch. What was causing that? Was it the latency?
Interestingly, for those really severe slowdowns, the main culprit seemed to be bandwidth limits on the CXL devices themselves.
Not latency, but just not enough pipe.
Right. Those specific workloads were trying to gulp down data faster than the CXL link or the memory controller could actually provide it. It created a bottleneck, queues backed up, performance just tanked. They pointed to specific spec CPU benchmarks known to be bandwidth hungry as clear examples.
Okay, that makes sense. If you're starved for bandwidth, the latency difference becomes less relevant.
Exactly. And on configurations with more bandwidth, like using Neumann M memory or the higher-end CXLD device they tested, you didn't see that same extreme slowdown tail for those bandwidth-bound apps.
They also mentioned something about slowdown increasing super linearly with latency.
Yeah, that was another interesting finding. For some workloads, a relatively small increase in the CXL latency didn't just cause a small slowdown, it caused a disproportionately larger slowdown. It wasn't a straight line relationship.
More complex interactions. Now, what about that CXL plus and UMA thing you mentioned earlier? Accessing CXL attached to another socket. You said that had a surprise.
It did. This was really counterintuitive. They found that running a workload using CXL memory attached across a UMA link, CXL plus UMA, was often slower than just using regular two-hop UMA memory, even if the average latency numbers for CXL plus UMA looked slightly better on paper.
Wait, how does that work? Slower than plain UMA?
Yeah. They used one workload, 520.mnetpp, as a prime example. It ran fine, almost no slowdown on CXL attached locally. But run it on CXL plus UMA was nearly three times slower, whereas running it on just two-hop UMA wasn't nearly that bad.
Okay, that is weird. What was going on there?
And guess what they traced it back to?
Let me guess. Tail latency.
Bingo. That CXL plus UMA configuration, for whatever reason, maybe interactions between the NUMA link and the CXL protocol, exhibited significantly worse tail latencies than the other setups.
Whoa.
And they proved the link directly. For that specific workload, they tried reducing its intensity, making fewer memory requests. And when they did that, both the tail latency spikes and the overall slowdown decreased significantly in the CXL plus NUA case. Direct evidence that those unpredictable long pauses were the killer.
So is that unpredictability again hitting really hard in certain combined scenarios? Man, CXL is tricky.
It definitely has nuances. But on the positive side, the study also showed things are improving. The highest performance CXL device they tested, CXLD, was already getting pretty close to NUMA performance levels for many workloads.
Okay, progress.
Yeah. And they also showed that using techniques like hardware interleaving, basically striping data across two CXL devices to double the effective bandwidth, really helped mitigate the slowdowns, especially for those bandwidth-hungry applications we talked about.
What about different CPUs? Did newer chips handle CXL better?
They compared Intel's SPR and EMR platforms. The newer EMR has larger caches, but it didn't seem to magically solve all the CXL challenges. The fundamental issues with latency, tail latency, and bandwidth still showed up.
So bigger caches help, but don't eliminate the core CXL issues.
Seems that way. And if you look at the Weiland plots in the paper, these graphs that show the whole distribution of slowdowns, you really see the impact. As average latency goes up, say to the 410s configuration they tested, the whole distribution shifts towards worse slowdowns.
Right.
But you also still see that variability. Even at higher latency, some workloads tolerate it okay, while others just completely fall off a cliff performance-wise. And they specifically highlighted cloud workloads like Redis and VoltDB as being particularly sensitive.
Okay, so let's distill this section. Recommendation number two for you listening. You absolutely need to assess your specific workloads carefully before jumping to CXL.
Yeah. Is your workload bound by bandwidth? Because if it is, some current CXL devices might cause major slowdowns. If it's not bandwidth bound, then latency, and especially that tail latency, becomes the critical factor to watch.
And just having CXL memory available doesn't mean the system will use it optimally. You still need smart software, smart tiering policies, to figure out what data should live on fast local DRAM versus slightly slower CXL. Understanding your app's memory access patterns is key.
Exactly. Know thy workload.
Okay, so we've seen what CXL performance looks like, its variability, its challenges like tail latency, and how it impacts different workloads, sometimes severely due to bandwidth or latency sensitivity. But let's say you do run into one of those slowdowns. Your app is suddenly 3x slower on CXL. How do you figure out why?
Right. That's the million-dollar question for developers and ops teams. Is it the CXL hardware? Is it the interconnect? Is it how the CPU is interacting with it? Is the application doing something weird? Pinpointing that root cause with traditional tools is really, really hard.
It feels like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Totally. And that's where the next major contribution of this paper comes in. They didn't just characterize the problems. They developed a novel analysis technique specifically for this. They call it SPA stall-based CXL performance analysis.
SPA. Okay, tell us about SPA. How does it help?
SPA's core idea is actually pretty elegant. They realized that the main reason a workload slows down when moving from fast local DRAM to slower CXL memory is because the CPU ends up spending more time stalled, just waiting for the memory subsystem.
Makes sense. Waiting for data.
Exactly. So SPA focuses on measuring the difference in these CPU stall cycles between running on CXL versus local DRAM. That difference, A's memory as they call it, is essentially the CXL-induced slowdown, quantitatively.
Okay, so it measures the extra waiting time caused by CXL. And how accurate is it? Does it need complex tracing?
That's the really cool part. They found it's highly accurate. They reported less than 5% error for over 95% of the workloads. And it achieves this using only 9 standard CPU performance counters.
Only 9? Wow, that's lightweight.
It really is. You don't need intrusive tracing or anything complex, just standard hardware counters that are already there.
Okay, so it measures the total extra stall time. Does it tell you why the CPU is stalling?
Yes, that's the other key part. SPA doesn't just give you a total number. It breaks down those extra stall cycles and attributes them to different potential sources in the memory hierarchy.
Like what?
Like, is the extra stalling due to waiting longer for demand reads from the main DRAM on the CXL device?
Oh.
Or is it because of stalls related to the L1 cache, the L2 cache,
right,
L3 cache, or maybe the store buffer where writes queue up, or something else in the CPU core? SPA gives you that breakdown.
Oh, okay. So it pinpoints where in the memory access path the extra waiting is happening.
Precisely. And using this breakdown, they uncovered another really interesting finding, specifically about cache-related stalls under CXL, finding #4 in the paper.
What was that?
It turns out a significant chunk of cache slowdown isn't just because data takes longer to fetch on a miss. It's actually because CXL's longer latency reduces the efficiency of the CPU's hardware prefetchers.
Wait, how does longer latency hurt the prefetcher?
Okay, think about it like this. The L2 prefetcher tries to anticipate data needs and fetch lines from memory into the L2 cache ahead of time.
Right.
But with CXL, that fetch takes longer. So by the time the prefetch data actually arrives in the L2 cache, the CPU might have already needed it and stalled. Or the L1 prefetcher might have already issued its own request further out. The L2 prefetch arrives too late to be useful as often.
Ah, I see. The timing gets messed up by the longer CXL round trip.
Exactly. So the L2 prefetch's coverage, the percentage of misses it successfully prevents, goes down. Because the L2 prefetcher is less effective, the L1 prefetcher ends up having to issue more requests that go all the way out to the last level cache, LLC, or even directly to the CXL memory itself.
And that means more potential for stalls.
Correct. Overall prefetch efficiency drops, and you see an increase in stall cycles that SPA attributes specifically to the L1, L2, and L3 caches, even though the root cause is the delayed arrival of prefetches due to CXL latency.
That's a subtle but really important effect.
Right. It really is. And they showed data correlating higher L2 cache stall contributions directly with lower L2 prefetcher coverage. They could even see how L1 prefetches that missed L2 but hit L3 or went to CXL increased, while successful L2 prefetches decreased. It's a clear mechanism.
So SPA doesn't just tell you cache slow. It helps you understand why the cache interaction is slower.
Precisely. And it also really highlighted the diversity of bottlenecks across different workloads. They showed these breakdown charts. It was fascinating. Two workloads might have the same total slowdown, say 20%.
Okay.
But SPA would show that for workload X, maybe 80% of that slowdown was due to DRAM demand read stalls, while for workload Y, maybe 60% was due to cache prefetch inefficiency and 20% due to the store buffer. Completely different reasons.
Wow. So you really need that level of detail. Can you give some examples?
Yeah, they listed several, like Pambalem from SpecCPU was often bottlenecked by the store buffer. Photonic Third was heavily impacted by cache prefetch issues. Graph processing with GAPBS tended to stall waiting for DRAM demand reads. Even things like the Llama language model showed significant LLC stalls, while Redis and VoltDB were often waiting on DRAM. Machine learning workloads also often pointed to DRAM stalls.
So the bottleneck really depends heavily on the application's specific memory access patterns.
Massively. SPA gives you the tool to actually see that pattern reflected in the CPU stalls.
And they took it even one step further, right? With
yeah.
Looking at performance over time.
Yes. Finding #5. That was the period-based analysis feature of SPA. It's brilliant, really. Instead of just giving you one average breakdown for the entire run of an application.
Which might have high variations.
Exactly. SPA can chop the execution into time windows periods and give you a separate stall breakdown for each period. So you can see how the bottleneck might shift during the application's runtime.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah, they showed examples where one workload might start off heavily stalled on, say, the store buffer, but then later in its execution, the primary bottleneck shifts to DRAM access latency. Average numbers would totally miss that dynamic behavior.
Okay, so SPA sounds incredibly useful. Let's summarize its practical value. Recommendation number 3.
Absolutely. SPA is primarily a tool for performance debugging. If your app is slow on CXL, SPA helps you pinpoint the root cause. Is it DRAM access, cache inefficiency, store buffer pressure? It answers the why.
And once you know the why,
you can start thinking about performance tuning. That example they gave was perfect, the MCF workload. SPA showed slowdown bursts were linked to accessing just two specific data structures, only 2 GB total, that were on CXL.
Right, the small objects causing big problems.
Exactly. So the fix was simple. Use memory tiering software or hints to place just those two objects on local DRAM, leave the rest on CXL, and boom, the slowdown dropped from 13% to just 2%. That's targeted optimization based on SPA's diagnosis.
That's a huge win from a simple change, enabled by understanding the bottleneck.
Totally. And beyond debugging and tuning, SPA could also be used to build better performance prediction models or inform smarter automated memory tiering policies in operating systems or hypervisors, moving beyond simple metrics like cache miscounts to understand the impact of those misses.
Okay, wrapping this all up then, this deep dive has really shown that CXL memory performance, well, it's complicated.
Definitely not simple. It's variable. It depends on the specific device, the system configuration, and very much on the workload itself.
And you absolutely have to look beyond simple averages. Things like tail latency are critical, potentially dominant factors for some applications. And there are these subtle interactions, like with CPU prefetchers, that have real performance consequences.
Right. Dropping CXL in and just hoping it works as generic memory expansion isn't going to cut it for everything. You need deeper analysis.
And that's where tools like Melody, the characterization framework they used, and especially SPA, the performance analysis tool, becomes so essential. They give you the means to actually understand these complex dynamics.
And it's fantastic that the researchers open source their tools and datasets. That really helps the whole community move forward in understanding and optimizing for CXL.
So the final thought for you, our listener, given everything we've unpacked today, variability of CXL devices, the crucial impact of tail latency, the different ways workloads react due to bandwidth or latency sensitivity, and how tools like SPA can reveal the specific stall bottlenecks down to prefetcher efficiency. How does this change how you will think about using CXL?
Yeah, how will you approach designing systems, developing software, or managing infrastructure that incorporates CXL memory? How can we best match the right CXL solutions, the right software strategies to the right workloads to really unlock the benefits of memory expansion without getting bitten by these performance surprises?
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.